My name's Wayne Hunt. I live at 1000 Wayne Hunt Road, Herndon, Kentucky. Area code 232236. I'm 80 years old and about 100% ag guy most of my life. Well, I want to join in farming for Fort Campbell, and I own 21 operations in 6 states that are farm machinery dealerships. Agriculture is important to me because we are the world's largest, safest, cheapest food supply because of what we do in agriculture. We are the most productive nation, and I fear solar has been the biggest threat to production agriculture of anything I've faced lately. I'm not against solar, but solar needs to have a place where it can function. I spent $1 million from solar last year and put it on 4 new stores. One in Columbus, Mississippi, one in Tanner, Alabama, one in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, and one in Owensboro, Kentucky. And we got enough tax credits. It wasn't the solar savings necessarily. They paid enough tax credits to help us build those buildings. I've looked at the results for some of that. We don't get much results from the solar, but one thing, they didn't even cover the building. They just put percentages on it. I don't understand that. It's more of that than I knew, probably. I learned enough from this group, too. I didn't ask enough questions. I did ask once, if we have a leaking roof, what do we have to do? It's a, well, you got to take those screws out, fix your leak, put them back on with some rubber washers. I wasn't real through with that. That didn't come up first. But I think solar has a place. For instance, this project you're talking about, 25 miles up the road, there's coal mining land doing nothing. But they can't afford to go there. I asked one of these gentlemen, I think, said, how come? I said, if your system that can't support a existing system that's owned to transport it to a line, it's got to go with TVA where it is. It's pretty limited, really. We got TVA lines running a lot of different directions. But the taking of the best farmland, if it's pasture, if it's cropland, is something we don't have anymore. I've yet to have anybody show me a recovered solar farm. We've got one going in our neighborhood of Russellville up here, and I rode across it. If you're a farmer and you got right across there, you know one thing, it's not going to be recovered back to a farm anymore. That's the end of the story for that. That's not going to happen. We might could level it up if a decommissioning, whatever that word was, I think it, that goes with it. I just don't think that's ever going to happen to a farm today. I don't care what. You can't put the soil back in place. If you're a true farmer, you ride through there when you're working on that and cry at what's happening. Ditches dug, wires every which way. But the bottom line in this thing, I think, is we're looking for something that doesn't affect people. It wasn't necessarily for solar. I think when we looked at it here in this community, we spent a little time looking at how can we put something together that says, we didn't tell you what to do with your ground, but you can't affect your neighbor too bad. I don't think we put anybody out of business, anything like that. We try to put a document together that says, if you want to do it, you'll have to do it this way. And maybe it won't affect these people. I remember one lady in here, I don't know what her name is, she couldn't look out a single window or door of her house and not see her solar field. Now, since this all come about, we see solar panels. I don't know what happened to them when we decommissioned them. Can we throw them away? Do we have to take a certain places? What do? We've learned a lot. They do give off some noise, some other things that we've researched to see what it, does it affect your health, and you can find pro and cons of that on the internet if you don't go in and look it up. But for me, I think what we put together here is that we're the best way we can look at it and not affect any more people than we might affect that want to do something and can't do it, and others don't want it and we keep it from happening. And I think we've done a pretty good job of that. I don't know what the siting committee is going to be. I'm not sure about that. But I know we got House Bill 4 put a lot of stuff in there in House Bill 4 that you could do and couldn't do. I don't know we even addressed anything like that here. But I'm on the Ag Development Board and Ag Finance Corporation. I've served 23 years on that. I've been appointed by every governor except the young men's governor. And his dad put me on there last time. I've been on it 23 years. We raised Kentucky agriculture. The net farm income from $3 billion to now almost $9 billion today by reinvesting about $400, $500, $600, or $700 million back in agriculture. And it's not taking land out of production, it's increasing the production of what we got. Kentucky can compete if we don't fool with it too much. We can compete. We can compete with the central part of the of the country. But now, we can do some things with solar before we really get into it and understand everything it can impact. You could have some end results not very good. I have a really good friend in Alabama, lost 1,100 acres at Jones's home farm. They wouldn't even let him buy it. He had to let the solar people have it. That's just not what I think we'd want to do if we want to develop solar. If we could get it to the ground, it doesn't do anything today. That's using some that's not in production today. There's set aside ground, there's deserts, there's a lot of things out here in this world today I think we're fit. Buildings, I think it fits buildings. I'm not sure it's real productive, but my two cents worth is I think the community should have a say-so in what happens in their communities. I don't care what. I speak pretty strong about that. But I appreciate you folks taking your time. I think come down and look at it. We'll do as much as community reacts pretty positive. We try not to affect that person that wants to do something in the ground and help the people that don't want something done to them on the side over here, doing the best job we could. I think you can still build a solar farm here if you want to, but you got to do certain things. I think House Bill 4 covered a little stuff like that too. But I think the communities have to have some say about what happens to them. But I appreciate your time.
My name is Jerry Noah. I live at 7802 Greenville Road. We're right in the midst of this project. We are totally, totally against it for the reasons that I'm almost 70 years old. I love to hunt. And on our property, we've got small acreage. We have deer. We got turkey. We have bobcats. We have coyotes. We have coons. And if this project was to go through, there would be a 9-foot fence for 2/3 away around our property line. This will very much affect the migration patterns of the animals. You take a bobcat, he'll travel at least 5 miles. That's going to cut his route off. It will definitely hurt the wildlife. And the people who like to even view wildlife, which I do, I have cameras up everywhere. I like to watch the way they act and the way they move. And it's going to have a negative effect on all of this. And another thing, my wife, her family, have lived in this area for, I guess, 100 years. And on farms out there, and we own land out there. And this is going to be a negative effect to hundreds of people in the Dogwood community. And, you know, I read up on some on nuisance laws, and a nuisance is anything that negatively affects another person's way of life. And this will affect many people if it was to go through. So we're totally opposed to it. Thank you very much.
My name is Brian Burkett. I live at 8980 Greenville Road here in Hopkinsville. I might first state that, like Mr. Hunt, I'm not against solar. I think it has its place. I've been given a few points that wanted to be conveyed tonight, then I have a few comments of my own. Points of interest, you know, when this company approached the court, had a $200 million revenue bond, informed the court that all the neighbors of the option land had permission or no problems with the project. That was a lie. I'm one of several people that was never contacted by this company and asked what I thought about it. During this application process of signing up people, it's been brought to my attention that there was some disregarding of the local ordinance. To me, that questions the character of the company. And I will say, since this first came out, I've been on board. I've been to every meeting. I've been to every public thing that's been around here. Yes, I've spoke against it, and I'm going to speak against it tonight. It was also brought to my attention that there was no public notice of this meeting was advertised that we can see when we look that this meeting, the public notice. It was brought to my attention earlier that the reservation of this courthouse was not requested until today. I think that kind of makes it rough on local officials. And in the previous meeting, I think this was referenced of, at the Dogwood Church, there was no public comment session for the public to comment. You know, I've had a lot of things to think about today. You know, Ms. Schlegel said when, you know, about what about individual landowners' rights? I think in one of our last court meetings, Senator Westerfield referenced that. You know, your rights end when it infringes on mine. The land in question, you know, I thought about this today too. I pretty much know everybody or know of the people that have put their land in this project, and hey, it's their land, they can do it. What I find interesting is most of them are like myself and like to hunt. Well, I can give them a rude awakening. There's not gonna be anything to hunt or to see if this project is successful. Another thing I've observed tonight, I respect everybody that spoke in front of me, all y'all hard workers, but that's great about the jobs, but we gotta live here when this project, when that job is over with. If there's one thing this company has done successfully, it's divided a community, it's divided families, and it's damaged friendships. I'm under the impression of this board that they want to move forward in a favorable environment, not one where there's so much division. You know, there's deeper roots in North Christian than mine, but I'm the fourth generation of my family to live in the Dogwood community. And I just think, as I stated earlier, there's a place for solar, and this is not where it should be. And I guess my biggest point of agitation with this, I don't think it's right that I'm a fourth generation person living there, and this company can come in and buy somebody's permission to say, yeah, go ahead and put solar panels over there. I'm going to be there till I die. They might be gone in 6 weeks. I don't think it's right you could do that. I was approached about paying me money, and I wouldn't take it. But I just think that's something that, anyway, ought to be considered. Thank you for coming down. I thank you for having us here.
Thank you, Chairman. Vice Chairman, good to see you. Members of the PSC, it's hard to beat what you just heard from Mr. Burkett. He hit every nail on the head. I don't have a problem with solar. I agree wholeheartedly with what you just heard from Mr. Burkett. I think it has its place, but he's right. When what you do on your land starts affecting me on my land, we've got a problem. And that's what this project is going to do. I've written public comment, I've spoken at fiscal court meetings, and you've already heard some of the objections already. It's going to affect, will undoubtedly affect, wildlife, everything in that area, everything that we're accustomed to. And while I respect the laborers that have come here from out of state, they don't live here. They're not going to wake up and see solar panels out their front door and out their side window and out their other side window and out their back porch window. Some of the people in this room are, if this project is there. It will diminish property values. It will have noise. Those jobs, I'm thankful for. As has been said, even temporary jobs are good to have. But it comes at a price to have a project like this built, the construction of it, the operation of it. The value of my property will be diminished as a result of what's happening on the property next door. This company hasn't been forthright, and you've already heard that mentioned tonight. I wasn't in the fiscal courtroom when they talked about it, but they initially came and asked for a $200 million industrial revenue bond and made the assurance that everybody was okay with what this project was going to do and that they had spoken to all the landowners. You just heard from one who's right next door, and they never talked to him. My mother's one right next door. They didn't talk to her. I've got a brother who's right next door. Didn't talk to him. This company's lied in proceedings before the fiscal court. And I'll remind you, when they initially filed their application for the siting board, they conveniently neglected to mention the ordinance the court in which we're standing and sitting here tonight had already taken up and enacted. That ordinance is in effect, and my reading of House Bill 4 says that you're to give deference to that local action. They can come here if they'd like. They just have to abide by the setbacks and the decommissioning requirements set forth in the ordinance that we have in House Bill 4, as it's now codified here in law. You know, I don't have a problem with industrial development. I don't have a problem with factories coming in and industry. But again, what you do on your land is fine until it starts affecting what happens on mine. And this is going to affect every other property owner out there. I hope you hear from Ms. Kirkman tonight. I hope you hear from others out there. You've heard from Mr. Noel. People live there. Not out-of-state laborers, but people who are going to have to see this every single day. Their testimony should weigh heavier than anybody else's. Every single, with one exception, I can name one person. In fact, I can't remember his name. But there's only one person in the whole Dogwood community I've talked to or heard from that's okay with this project. The rest of us don't want it. I hope you take that back with you as you finish your consideration of this applicant. And I hope you deny it. Let them go somewhere else. To a county that doesn't mind it as much as this county clearly does. Most of the people behind me aren't here because they support this. They're here because they don't want it here. And I hope you take that to heart. Deny this application. Thank you all so much.
Brandon Garnett, and I reside at 4520 Old Edwards Mill Road, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, and also own farmland property, which my mother lives on at 6490 Greenville Road in the Dogwood community, which would be in the back door of the proposed project. First and foremost, I want to state my opposition of the project, and I know Ms. Birdwell mentioned numerous times you all wouldn't be answering questions, and so I don't expect to answer, but do have some questions I'd like to ask for your consideration. You mentioned numerous times this was a community hearing, and how's that established? Community members, in my mind, live and reside with addresses within Christian County, and so curious as to what the boundaries are on the people speaking. That don't reside in the community. Second question I've got is, you talked some about the decommissioning of the project and returning the land to its normal use, and that a bond would be required to be placed by the company. The question is how's the bond amount established for decommissioning when no one has any valid idea or information on what it costs to return the land to its original use? I'll echo a lot of what Mr. Hunt said when he was up here. I'm for agriculture 100%, and Christian County has only, it's a lot, but only 216,000 acres of actual tillable cropland. Not quite as big as earlier stated. The employees that have been mentioned earlier are also a top concern for me. Christian County is number one in corn and wheat production in the state of Kentucky, number three in corn, number three in soybean production. And we're known across not only the state of Kentucky, but about across the southeast for being the leader in agriculture in many areas, and one of those is being vertically integrated. A few examples of that agriculture, vertical integration in agriculture that came out of this community is our local elevator. The Hopkinsville Elevator owns the Commonwealth Agri-Energy ethanol plant that employs numerous people, but outside of making ethanol, there's numerous projects that have spiraled out of that, including poultry, which is the state's number one ag commodity, but poultry feed and numerous variations, as well as air gas and the dry manufacture of dry ice. Another example is if you eat a McDonald's biscuit east of the Mississippi River, it was made from wheat produced in our region and largely in this county. The wheat is milled here by Seymour Milling. That employs a lot of full-time people. Flyers ordered to Continental Mills, who makes those biscuits that I just referenced, along with supplying the world's, America's number one cookie manufacturer. Agriculture is who we are. It's the heart of what we do. And as people mentioned jobs, there are hundreds of people in this community that are permanently employed by companies that would not be here and can't continue to be here and be viable if we don't remain at the top of the chart in production agriculture, and we have to have our land to do so. I appreciate you all's time tonight.
My name is Caleb Ballard. I live at 16988 Herndon Oak Grove Road, which is in the southern portion of the county. And I'm here because I've seen a lot of deception with this project overall. Of course, me being in the southern end of the county, this isn't something I'm waking up and looking out my door and seeing. But I've seen a lot of people upset about it, seen a lot of deception from the company overall. The actual approval by physical court, 90% of the people that actually approved that initial plan are no longer serving elected officials. So a lot of things have changed since the original proposal was made. And then you bring in the fact that all the neighbors were the last to know about the project. The project, it looks like it was approved by the oversight board in July of 2022. It was August, September of 2022 before it was brought to the people that knew anything about it or needed to know anything about it. So the taxpayers were the last to know anything about this. The neighbors were the last people to know anything about this. And I just really feel like that if we're going to be giving funds, whether it's tax base, whatever, to companies to do this, that the taxpayers need to be informed of that before it's approved and already ready to go. And then they're coming back going, hey, what's going on here? And they have nothing, they can't do it. They've been steamrolled, basically. Now, as I said, I'm not directly affected by this project in this county, but I am affected by a project of similar proposal in another state. That would be Tennessee. In Tennessee, specifically Ashland City, they have proposed, the TVA has proposed the next best thing, which is not solar panels to provide power to Nashville. This is a methane gas plant being proposed on 286 acres in Ashland City. TVA purchased this property for $1.4 million. It will be a 900 megawatt gas plant and battery storage facility. If solar is really truly the best thing going, why have they already overstepped the solar and went to a natural or a methane plant to supply power to the fastest growing city in America right now? Nashville's one of the top. Clarksville's right there next to it. And this gas plant is not supplying power for the neighboring community of Cheatham County, Dixon County, Houston County, the people that are being affected by this. This is solely created for Davidson County. So, once again, the people that are always affected by it, that can see it, aren't the ones benefiting from it. And I want that to be taken into consideration. Thank you.
Philip Garnick, a Christian County resident. And, you know, we're talking about, I heard a couple of people talking about 600 some odd acres, wasn't a whole lot of ground, but my family farm was 500 acres, and talking about the process of that, it raised 10 kids. My mother and dad raised 10 kids there. I think it's 60 grandkids, and most everybody still resides in the county, not all of them, but most of them still farm. I met one here tonight. Or farm and other businesses, nurses, teachers, and everything. So when you pull out agricultural land that's tillable, it has multiplied and been good for community. I know we have people out of town here wanting to build on it, but those are jobs every day. And those kids stay here every day, 4-H and FFA, and, and they raise their projects and stuff. So agriculture is vital. And another thing, the average size farm in Kentucky isn't but 170, well, I just looked it up, 171 acres. So you're talking three, that's the average family farm in Kentucky. So you figure that's three family farms that might not be here again on 600 acres or four, really. So it's just something to do with agriculture is very important. And I know we build factories and things, but they're more consolidated and more people work it. If they take a 5-acre plant, they'll work 400 people. Well, a solar farm is going to take up forever, 600 some acres. The whole industrial wouldn't be 1,000 acres in Curtis County, 1,200. So you're talking a whole lot of difference, a whole lot of land for a small amount of public good is what I'm saying. And as solar, I'm not against solar on houses, buildings, got them on mine. All my, if you come to our farm, you'll sit on all my shops. But it's not taking my cropland. And it's, and most of the time, people put them on, out in their fields have regret doing it. If you, I wish I never did it, but I even know at the extension office, I was up there helping them build that. And they've got them up right in the way, and now they can't move them because it's federal money put into there. But they don't produce enough to justify the land they're sitting on. So it's regrets go back pretty quick when these people own the land and I mean, start building these things. That in long term, I don't know how they're going to be because what I've seen before hadn't worked too good what I had. But anyway, I just want to let you know about the family farm. And but that's three family farms by the state of Kentucky, but there's the statistician. Thank you.
My name is Crystal Kirkman, and I live at 7969 Good Road. We purchased our initial tract of land in January of 2004, which is almost exactly 20 years ago today. We built our home, and we purchased adjoining tracts of land along the way. Our son lives on in his own house on the other side of our farm. You could say that we have planted our roots pretty deep here in the last 20 years. I've been a real estate agent for the last 21 years, and 17 of those I've been the principal broker of my own office. I know the value of land, and I know what this project would do to mine. While researching solar farms, we stumbled across an appraisal performed by Mary McClinton Clay from Paris, Kentucky. She stated that solar farms damage property values between 6 and 30% in her damage study from January the 1st, 2022. There are three common ways that you can value, you can put a value on land. There's a sales comparison approach, a cost approach, and an income approach. But there's also a fourth method, which is a damage study. And Black's Law Dictionary defines a diminution in value as damages which provide the difference between before and after values of property, which has been damaged or taken. I've read the site assessment. Kirkland Appraisals concludes that there will be no value impacts from the proposed Dogwood Corners facility on adjoining properties, and that the proposed facility will be in harmony with the area. I believe a much more detailed appraisal is needed in order to show the effect that the project will have on adjoining landowners. View affects property values. According to the Book of Appraisals in Real Estate, the physical characteristics of a parcel of land that an appraiser must consider are size, slope, frontage, topography, location, and view. Desirable views are typically an enhancement of value that can also be considered a negative attribute. The view that I will see as I look out my windows, my house sits higher up on our parcel of land, up on a little knoll, and I will look down, and I don't believe that there's any evergreen trees that would ever shield that from my vision, and not in my lifetime. I will see them to the right side of me, and if I turned around backwards, I would see them at the back. So on three sides of me, that's the view that I will have. And you can't tell me that that would not diminish my property value. I also serve as a condemnation commissioner in our county. Often, I'm asked to perform an opinion of value, determining the before and the after value of a property. This is a detrimental condition that will affect my right of use and enjoyment, as well as my property's value. I ask that you take this into consideration when making your decisions. Thank you for your time, and I really appreciate you coming here so that we could have our voice heard.
Yes, sir. My name is Walter Cummings, Jr. I live at 4105 Dogwood Kelly Road, which is right next to the solar panel project. I'm a fourth generation resident. My great-great-grandfather, Walter Garnett, bought property. It was passed down to my father, passed down to me, and I've got an eight-year-old boy. I just built a brand new house. We also own land across the road from where this project's going. I don't want to tell a landowner what to do with their property, but I just built a brand new $300-some-thousand house. And going off what Ms. Kirkman said, what's going to happen to my property value, what's going to happen to my brand new house value, and what's going to happen to the property we own across the road. That's the biggest concern that I have. I also own a landscaping company, deal with evergreen trees a lot. They do a decent job of blocking, but they ain't going to block everything. You're going to see it, and it's going to be an eyesore. I grew up in the country, and one great thing about the country is the view. You come in there and you put that in there and it's going to destroy the view. Every day when I get home, I can look over to the left in that field where this is going and see all kinds of wildlife. About 2 months ago when I got the pictures on my phone, saw four bald eagles out there in that field. You put them solar panels out there and you're going to mess with them bald eagles and you're going to mess with their habitat. Thank y'all for coming.
My name is Bobby Reagan. I live at 8484 Greenville Road. I do construction work. And you're not going to get young people to work no more. They don't want to work. And 90% of the people who want this is getting paid big bucks for it. If they wouldn't, they wouldn't want it. Thank you.